From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
It's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you're still here, your mission on earth is ahead of you. At least that's the way I like to look at it. I'm sure it's true. So want to share with you about the 8th Annual Vocations Benefit Dinner of the Diocese of Sacramento, Saturday, July 31, not too early to circle that date. It will take place at St. Mary Catholic Church right here in Sacramento, 1333 58th Street. They move it around. It's been in Vallejo and Placerville and Our Lady of Grace in West Sacramento and Vacaville, St. Clair and Roseville. Been in a lot of different places, and this year it's going to be in Sacramento. Last year they had to cancel it entirely because of COVID. There was some discussion of it being virtual, but this is going to be virtually in person. Right now, perhaps limited capacity, but we don't know that for sure. We're still, nearly 3 months away from this, so a lot could happen between now and July 31, hopefully all of it good. So you're invited to meet our diocesan seminarians, hear their vocation stories, wonderful fellowship with Bishop Soto, and support our future priests and religious, and acknowledge altar servers, and enjoy a really great meal from the Buckhorn. So it should be a lot of fun, a lot of inspiration as well. Raffles, silent auction, and it's all hosted by the Knights of Columbus Council 953. Starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and dinner starts at 5, and then the program at 6. You'll be out in a reasonable amount of time. So it's a great, great fun event. For tickets, you can call 707-372-4913. That's 707-372-4913. And it should be just a really wonderful event, as it has been really every year. Well, on May 17th, the parish coordinators and DREs and youth ministers are invited to come and listen to the Love and Liberty campaign, which will launch in the month of October of 2021. English workshop will be at May 17 at 8 p.m., and a Spanish workshop will be May 24 at 8 p.m. We are pleased and honored to welcome in Lincoln Snyder, the executive director and superintendent of our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Lincoln, good day to you.
Yeah, hey, Bob, how are you?
Are our schools air-conditioned?
Are they air-conditioned? Yes, they are. So those of you that had memories of, say, Christian Brothers High School anytime before 2000, and 10-ish, not all of our schools were air-conditioned back in the day, but I'm proud to say that we've put a lot into our facilities over the years, and we do our best to keep our little ones at something resembling a normal room temperature.
I went to school back before air conditioning had been invented. I'm telling you, this time of year and early September were brutal.
I can only imagine. Now, I was one of that generation of students, like all generations before, where we would have minimum days if it was going to exceed a particular temperature. So,
of course, yeah, when I was going to school, it was back in the day where you were fully dressed, let's say. you didn't have a whole lot of options, but that's great. God is shining the sunshine on us, and I guess summer is basically here, even though it's early May.
It is. And, we're just, moving toward the end of the school year and preparing for graduation and all sorts of fun stuff. And, it's been quite the busy and varied year for us and in the schools, but very happy to see us slowly but surely moving back toward normal and doing all those things that our communities love, like graduation and baccalaureate masses and all that beautiful end-of-the-year stuff.
How close to normal will graduation be this year?
So the state of California put out guidelines that are binding for all schools. And, we do have restrictions in terms of capacity and some other things. It's going to look different from school to school because our facilities vary and our communities vary, and the counties even vary. But in terms of general guidelines, the state has their documents they sent to everybody about a month ago, which I turned around and shared with our principals, and even the pastors are curious, how are we going to be able to do graduation? So I know Bishop Soto shared that document with them as well. We're going to manage through that. We're blessed as church schools that we have graduation ceremonies and we have baccalaureate masses. And so, you know, of course, our baccalaureate masses will follow the church protocols, and our graduation ceremonies have their own protocol as well.
Very good. Very good. And so everybody, when are the graduation dates now? Right at the end of the month?
End of the month, so we're already coming up on it rapidly. Most of our schools are going to be done somewhere between May 31st and then June 4th, I believe, at the outside for our elementary schools. Cristo Rey is one of the last to graduate, I believe, on June 12th. And so this is very much this most unusual of years is rapidly drawing to an end.
Yes, yes, indeed it is. And how much, obviously, next year, the UCs and the CSUs and not our community colleges yet, but CSUs and UCs have announced full bore, 100% full capacity for the fall.
Yep. As have we. We're going to be at our regular capacity for our schools. I've got a document that we're very close to publishing. They keep changing things on us, but it's all nearly ready to go. It's called the Looking Ahead to the 2021-22 School Year is the name of the document. Figured go with something obvious. I spend 16 or 17 pages doing my best to lay out expectations for what next year is probably going to be like. And then the state is going to issue final guidelines for August, probably around the middle of June. And so we'll have one last round of revisions to our return to school protocol, and we'll be starting with hopefully a clean new document and a lot of things that should feel more like normal school than they have this year.
In terms of, and we don't know how many this will be, in terms of those who still, for a variety of reasons, prefer the virtual or need the virtual, how will that be handled?
Well, we are actually creating a new 100% online school, and so you're the first to hear this. But I'm pleased to announce that Bishop Soto's approved the name, and so I can tell our listeners that we are going to have our newest school, the Diocese Blessed Sacrament, Online Academy. And so Blessed Sacrament is going to be its own unique school for next year, and that will be for the families who choose distance learning next year. We have families that, for a number of reasons, perhaps still won't be in a situation where they choose to send their child back to regular in-class instruction. We know 95% of our families are going to come back to in-person, but for those families that choose distance, we decided that doing an authentic online school was the best way to serve them. Our teachers have just been absolutely heroic in doing dual delivery this year, as we call
Amen.
It, where they're teaching kids in-person and online at the same time. As far as the educational experience for the students, in many ways, it's good for kids who are committed to being online for a semester to have that fully online experience, because we can just prepare the curriculum and the program differently if we know that they're going to be at home for that full semester. And so, in that case, they also have a dedicated teacher who's only working with kids who are learning online.
Right. So, and the school will serve the whole diocese, right? As opposed to each individual school having its own online, it's going to be one academy.
One academy for the whole diocese. Now, the other exciting thing about this is we have 11 counties that don't have Catholic schools. And actually, I just got an email from one of our pastors today, Father Brian up north in, I don't know if he's Alturas, but in one of our smaller parishes up north, and he's asked me where the ones we have families that would love a Catholic option. Well, now, thanks to everything we've learned from distance technology, we can offer them an authentic diocesan Catholic elementary school.
That is just
sacrament that will be able to serve them.
That is just outstanding. I mean, you think about that, and I know there are a lot of families do some pretty heroic stuff to get their kids to Catholic schools, but in a diocese as big as this one, and so many remote areas like Alturas, like Yreka, Happy Camp, to be able to attend Catholic school is that what a great thing that is for those people.
Yeah, and the exciting part about us working with our parishes to offer it in these smaller towns too is, you know, we know that the kids need a social experience. We of course focus on servant leadership and raising our young men and women to be servant leaders in Christ. That's the reason we do these schools. And so really part of the vision and part of the joy of this is that we can then go back to our pastors and say, look, help these kids become grown-ups in the parish in service quickly, and that's going to be a big part of their social outlet. And, you know, some parents want to work with their pastor to maybe do a co-op at the parish. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to really give the communities a chance to figure out how they can rally around their kids in these smaller towns. But, you know, from our perspective, you know, we can deliver a really good, solid Catholic curriculum online now. And then as far as how the communities or families choose to engage or not engage and organize or whatever the need would be, the sky's the limit.
Why? What are the challenges in setting this up, Lincoln?
You know, we decided to work with a partner that does this nationally called Catholic Virtual.
Mm-hmm.
The president is the former head of the Cristo Rey Network, and so we all know him of Cristo Rey High School here in Sacramento. So very sophisticated and very authentically Catholic mission people have a lot of experience. They've been operating a school for the Diocese of Brooklyn that's had 1,400 students this year.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, yes, and so Brooklyn and Orange and some other dioceses around the state decided not to do dual delivery and just do 100% either online or in person from mm-hmm. the beginning. And, you know, we each went the dual delivery route like most dioceses did nationally. But again, we've just decided that we're going to partner with a group because there's technology and a lot of back office things that have to happen and go right. And we thought, why reinvent the wheel when we have Catholic partners out there, that it's very much going to be, again, you know, diocesan, school diocesan identity. They understand that, you know, that curriculum varies from state to state and diocese to diocese. And so we're going to be collaborating with them to produce this 100% online school.
So the California kids will still get California history, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to have their own teachers. The nice thing is that as long as we have at least 15 kids enrolled per grade, we're going to have truly our own staff with our own kids that would be children from the diocese. And so part of the socializing, they'll figure out, okay, what parish are you from? For whatever reason that we didn't have 15, then they would be able to plug into a bigger network. So we expect we're going to have demand to have enrollment for our own dedicated teachers that would be teaching Sacramento Diocese kids with all those elements of our program that are so important to us. Things like the virtues or things like our Native Peoples Project in fourth grade, you know, we'll be weaving all those in a special way for our online students.
So our broadcast podcast especially goes all over the diocese. How can people find out more about it, how to sign up, what the ins and outs are of it, et cetera?
We're going to be advertising this on the diocesan website through emails to our principals and to our pastors, but we're gearing up for two parent information nights the last week of May, and I believe the 20th and the 24th. So keep your eyes peeled, listeners, if this sounds like something that might be good for you family, your family or someone that you know. We'll be holding parent information nights later this month.
Very good. So, and start time would be mid-August, like regular in-person school?
Exactly. It's going to run very similarly to our regular schools. It's just, we're very proud to have 36 beautiful diocesan elementary schools, and this is going to be number 37.
Boy, that's just, and it will be elementary school at this point.
Elementary, well, and we are going to have high school options as well. We're very proud of our 150-year-old high school in Vallejo, St. Patrick, St. Vincent.
Right.
And so they are actually going to be our high school provider to offer the exact same service. So we're essentially treating it as two separate schools, but we'll have a K-8 Blessed Sacrament, and then SPSV will have a program in support of high school students. So anybody from kindergarten through 12th grade that wants an online experience from our Catholic schools will be able to get one.
Do you know what percentage now are in the diocese overall are still in distance learning?
Yeah, it's dropped significantly. I would say that it's well under 10% are still in distance mode, probably closer to 3-5% of most of our schools. There's a couple of communities where, there's, for example, a high percentage of parents who work in the medical field.
Uh-huh.
And so, in some of our parishes have higher numbers, but those are really exceptions and not the rule. And a lot of our schools, I was speaking with the principal of Holy Spirit, and we'll have a case where it might be one child mm-hmm. in the class that's still in distance mode. And so, rather than asking our teacher to essentially prepare two lessons and deliver them concurrently for one student, we just feel like we're going to be able to be better for our students and better for our teachers if we decide to simply offer this fully online experience for the families to choose that.
Yeah, I've talked to a principal or two that said, "Yeah, we're at zero now. Everybody's in class," and I was just like amazed at that. So, have you chosen a faculty yet, or is it too early to figure that out?
Too early. This is very early stages. We've got an agreement inked with our friends at Catholic Virtual, and we're having a series of meetings to work this out. But no, we will be introducing teachers sometime in the summer. Students would get a note with a syllabus or an letter of introduction and. All of the back to school kind of information from their teacher, and so we really want to make sure that those relationships are at the core. And we're just really excited to be able to continue to support families that choose to take their learning online next year.
Compare the costs of this to say running an elementary school or running 36 elementary schools.
We're going to be pricing it about the same. So for those who are curious how much a Catholic elementary school experience costs, if you're a parishioner within the diocese with a letter from your pastor saying that you're a parishioner of any parish, you get the parishioner rate at any school. And generally our elementary school tuition is going to be somewhere on the order of $5,000 to $6,000 for the first child of a parishioner, mm-hmm. an active Mass-going Catholic. Some schools might cost a little bit more, but none of them really go above $7,000. And at the elementary level, high school is more expensive than that. But
right.
We're going to make sure that our online school is priced correspondingly to what the family would expect to pay for in class. So there wouldn't really be a difference in price one way or the other.
Wow. So between now and August, what else in terms of regular in-person, are there adjustments you have to make? Or are you still waiting on the state and the counties and et cetera?
Well, the number one thing that I can say with great pride is that we're going to go back to our old enrollment. So we have most of our schools, we're really strapped for space. So like St. Francis Elementary in downtown Sacramento, midtown Sacramento, found itself with 310 students instead of 330 because we just couldn't get the desks in the room. We don't have to do that anymore. We've learned a lot more about the science of spacing the new rules will let us have our regular capacity. With our teachers getting vaccinated and vaccines now opening up to the high school students, and we think later this month to the students above 12,
right.
12 and older,
right.
We really expect we're going to continue to see an overall decline in the cases of COVID. We know there's been an uptick right now, and just a note to the listeners, sports are great, and we want our kids in sports, and we're learning more and more that kids aren't getting sick from sharing equipment or at the event itself, but it's the going and the coming, and it's staying in hotels, and it's having dinners, and it's standing shoulder to shoulder on the sidelines for hours.
Yep.
Most of the outbreaks we've seen have to do, not with sports, not with school, but all of those transition points where people are maybe feeling a little bit safer because numbers are down, so they congregate, and then you will have these outbreaks. So that's the pattern we're seeing of COVID right now. But we know that we're going to have our PAL season next year, maybe some modified games, but we're going to run our parochial athletic league, and we're going to be back to our regular numbers in the classroom.
Yeah, I think one of the we've heard about the uptick, and there's some finger pointing at sports, and it, as you say, it's the carpooling, it's the All the things that go along with getting two squads of whatever sport to the arena, that's where the spread is, and it hasn't been dramatic, but there has been an uptick. There's no question about it.
Yeah, Catholic high school within a three-hour radius of here, to be unnamed, I'll just say that much, found itself with 20 infected students and 300 students quarantined.
Wow.
As an outcome of, again, it wasn't the ball game that got kids sick. It was the before and after and the rest of it. So, I mean, this is, we're still premature to be doing things like sharing locker rooms or sharing a team bus or,
yep.
you know, all of those things that have to do with the game but aren't the game itself. So, I mean, we understand how to manage this risk, and as long as our families are willing to accept that the social aspect of sports may be different next year, we are going to be able to have our parochial athletic league for elementary schools for sure.
Yeah, you know, as a part-time sports writer, I covered some games, basketball games and football games in the winter and the spring. Football in the spring, hard to even say. They're such an oxymoron. But we're no fans, and that was sad for the fans and sad for the players. But you know something, the sport is still sport. I saw a lot of spirited games and very little transmission because, as you say, it wasn't the game itself, and there were no fans there to spread it. So I think it's such an important outlet, and I'm really glad to hear that we're going to accommodate it, as you say, well within the rules and well within the guidelines, so that everybody stays safe.
Absolutely. I mean, our kids need to be out and moving, and especially after a year like this one where maybe everybody's been a little bit blue because our social lives just haven't been what they would have been in a normal year, and we're social animals. You know, we really want to make sure we're doing everything we can, albeit safely, to get kids back in the community with a lot of things that they know and love.
And now, I mean, we're seeing over and over, even here in California, where people are getting vaccinated generally at a higher rate than other states, where there's just excess vaccine now, which I think is one of the things fueling the going down to 12. Obviously, the other, that the test results are coming back and saying one test result was that the Pfizer was 100% efficacy, which is fabulous. Is there ever going to be a requirement that students need to be vaccinated?
You know, that's not what we're thinking right now, Bob. I mean, I think that, and I was just discussing this with another one of our school leaders this morning. You know, so we do have this kind of dilemma of the individual versus the herd.
Right.
For us to reach herd immunity, from everything I've read, at least some of our children are going to need to be vaccinated.
Right.
And so, even when I was working with our epidemiologist and our plans for next year, every time we'd come up with a new rule or scenario, she would say, but when we reach herd immunity, the numbers will just collapse and you won't have to worry about that even if people aren't vaccinated. So
mm-hmm.
I think that, it's anybody's best guess what that number really is, but based on reasonable scientific estimates, at least some of our kids are going to have to get vaccinated for our society to hit that tipping point.
Yeah,
and so I think that this is something for someone to pray over. I think the church offers really good teaching on this about,
yeah.
you know, there's risk with vaccine, but there's still benefits to the society for taking it. So it is an act of mercy. You know, at the same time, I know, you know, people worry about their kids' health, and it's a very personal. I mean, a lot of adults would take the vaccine for themselves, but be concerned about their kids. And
sure.
So we're sympathetic to all that. Our hope is that the conversation doesn't go in that direction, and you know, because people are being so compliant within our communities, we're hoping that we'll hit that magic tipping point, and we'll be able to see more and more normal activities as we get into the next school year.
Yeah, it's well put, Lincoln. And you people who have concerns, ethical concerns, should read the statement from the California Catholic Conference of Bishops, from our own bishop, from the USCCB. All available on the CA Catholic website, on the diocese, scd.org, or the usccb.org. All the statements are there about the ethical concerns and that it is morally acceptable for Catholics, and in fact, very much encouraged to get vaccinated. I haven't really talked about kids, which was more of the ethical concerns are the same, but obviously we have less information about kids being vaccinated, and as a parent myself, I know you worry about those things, no question about it.
Yeah, we do. I mean, the younger the child, the less likely they are to be a transmitter, so we are confident that we can continue to manage, but like, we know how emotional the question of masks is for everybody, and that
yep.
kind of seems to be the new You know, the new small talk is, you know, what do you think I'm asking for kids? You know, and we, you know, of course, there is a scenario under which we might need masks for kids next year at the beginning, but sure. then not need it at the end of the year, and that's when we see those overall numbers coming down. So our hope is that we can, you know, that we can get there as a society, and we'll all look back on this and get our annual boosters, et cetera, but won't have to continue to upend our lives because of the latest mutation or what have you.
I just need a mask that won't fog up my glasses. I need little windshield wipers on my glasses.
Well, it's funny. I wore glasses for years, but at a St. Francis High School charity event, I bought LASIK a few years ago. So I've been spared the indignity of going blind every time I step outdoors.
That's great. Did it work real fast? Was it everything you thought?
Yeah, it's, you know, what can I say? My wife was kind of mad. She said, you know, wanting to support the school is not a good reason to buy surgery at an auction. But it worked out, you know. And like I said, me having to deal with fog glasses.
Oh, that's great. Well, Lincoln, always a joy to talk with you. Thanks for all you do for our great Catholic schools, and I'm really excited about this Blessed Sacrament Academy. I think that's just fabulous.
Yeah, no, we're thrilled. It was a flash of inspiration from the bishop. We left it to his prayers for the Spirit to name it, and he came back and said, Blessed Sacrament. So we're really excited to be moving forward.
Very, very good. Well, God bless you and all your staff and all your students and your family, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
God bless, Bob. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Lincoln. That's Lincoln Snyder, the Executive Director and Superintendent of Schools for all our Catholic schools, 36 elementary schools and a bunch of high schools, and you'll be able to go to scd.org, the diocesan website, to learn all about the Blessed Sacrament Academy, which will be for anybody in the diocese, even people in the North State. And there are a lot of rural areas in other parts of our diocese, too, where people just are too far from a Catholic school to do it in person. We'll take a quick break, back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue, open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento, who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Indeed you are. Thanks for that introduction, Lincoln. Thanks for all you do for our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, I'm holding the Catholic Herald, the brand new Catholic Herald magazine in my hands. It's burning my fingertips because it is hot off the presses. And here to explain it all, Julie Sly, the editor of the Catholic Herald. Julie, good day.
Hey, hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing fine. Good to hear your voice. Would love to see you in person, but we are still under a few restrictions, so we are doing it by phone, which works fine. I can hear
you
perfectly.
We're not too far away.
Just open your door and shout. Julie and I share a hallway here at the Pastoral Center. But her office has a window. Let's just make that very clear.
I do have a window out to the courtyard, which is very nice.
Beautiful courtyard. Yeah.
With Mary.
Mary is always there, day and night.
She's always there.
Yeah, yes. And she was just crowned.
She was just crowned yesterday by our staff and our prayer service.
Isn't that wonderful? The annual May crowning. Wonderful ceremony. So the Catholic Herald magazine, they are like my angels. Sisters Outreach during pandemic promotes mental, spiritual well-being.
Well, that's the headlines on our cover story.
Right.
And so our main issue, the theme was Hope Through the Pandemic, COVID-19 One Year Later. And so actually I'm really proud of this issue because we really cover a lot of communities in our diocese, from Marysville to Willows to Portola to the Cathedral in Sacramento to Rockland to Elk Grove to Yolo Solano.
That's amazing.
So, anyway, we have a lot of great stories in this issue. The cover story is about three sisters who came to our diocese through an exchange program with Catholic Extension, which is the national society program that's been going for many, many years, Catholic Church Extension, which helps mission dioceses.
Mm-hmm.
So dioceses that are, you know, more mission outreach. And, of course, our North State area would be considered mission territory. So these three sisters, it's called the Latin America Sisters Exchange Program. It's a five-year commitment with the focus on the sisters' work targeted toward human development services within their communities.
Mm.
So we have sisters Zuli Cardenas Carrion, sister Anna Luisa Vasquez Lopez, and sister Antonia Sanchez Nunez. They're all from different parts of Mexico. Never have lived in the U.S. One's from Cuernavaca, one's from Chiapas, one's from Guanajuato City.
Wow.
And so they are here working with the Chico office of Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, and Norma Servin Lacey is their supervisor there. And they are working in the Promotores program. For those of you who don't know what a promotoro is, it's usually a Latino community member who receives specialized training to provide basic health education in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They're not professional health care workers, but they do work in health care and resources and outreach in the community. So they're involved in a very unique program where they are doing community outreach for the Latino population in Chico, Oroville, and Paradise, and also Gridley. So they're doing Butte County.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really amazing what they're doing. They're helping with emergency awareness after all the fires and everything. And primarily, they are doing early intervention in mental health services, which there's been a great need for that.
Oh, a tremendous need for it.
Yes. So they're doing support groups at St. Thomas More Parish in Paradise, St. Thomas the Apostle in Oroville, and also some in Chico.
Mm-hmm.
And they include some of the women and children impacted by the campfire. The topics of discussion include access to health care, mental health services, child care, resiliency, life skills, and nutrition. And actually, on my local news service a couple days ago, there was a story about how a new app has been created for them through their sisters, which is called the Congregation for Eucharistic Missionaries of the Infant Jesus and Our Lady of Fatima, based mm-hmm. in Mexico. Their community has created an app that they can plug in all their information and record all their information anytime they have a one-on-one interaction with anyone that
wow.
they're helping. So they also participated in outreach to larger groups and assisted with food drives and census outreach. And so the food drives last year helped more than 550 people with food and sanitizing supplies and information on social services. And Norma from Northern Valley Catholic Social Service says, mental health can have a stigma within the Latino community. It's okay to go to the doctor because you have diabetes, but if you're suffering from any mental issues, it can be frowned upon. So the Promotoris program served more than 300 individuals in 2020, and the need is still growing. So they coordinate with the county and everything. The quote from the headline came from one of their program recipients and member of the women's support group, Mrs. Gonzalez, who said, my husband became sick late last year. The sisters helped us immensely during that difficult time. They looked after us and helped us during his battle against cancer. My husband passed away in October last year, and the sisters stayed by my side and supported me during my loss. I'm grateful for everything they have done for me. They are like my angels mm-hmm. because they encourage me to keep pushing forward. So they've been doing, obviously, a lot on Zoom, also because their in-person groups were limited to 10 individuals at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they also lead a Eucharistic Holy Hour on Thursdays at St. Isidore Parish in Yuba City. And they've been active with family support and leading rosaries for funeral events around the community. They also work with patients at Enloe Hospital. And on top of all that, I don't know where they would have the time, they are pursuing post-secondary degrees from St. Mary's University in Minnesota, with Sister Antonia earning her master's degree, and Sister Zuli and Anna Luisa completing their bachelor's degree.
Amazing. You know, Julie, there's one photo there that, right in the midst of the pandemic, obviously, with the sisters and some other volunteers standing under one of those makeshift tents with shields on and face masks on and boxes of food stacked up and distributing it to people who are coming drive by, you know, putting it in their trunk, putting it in the back of their van. It makes me so proud to be a Catholic, to be associated with these people in the same faith that the pandemic. As you mentioned, something was limited to 10, and we're limited this way, and we're limited this way. Nobody in the Catholic Church has stopped providing for those in need, because the need has grown dramatically, and these sisters, and that photo just captures all of what they're doing. Instead of saying no, there's disease out there, one of those people driving up might have COVID, I can't be doing that. They're not saying that. They're out there. I mean, they're taking all the precautions and following all the rules. But by golly, they're getting the food to the people who need it. It's just, it's a beautiful photo.
Well, I have to credit our one of our freelancers who is based in Chico, Jason Weinrich. Mm-hmm. He did the story and the photography. So I'm grateful to him. He always does a terrific job. He actually has his own company in Chico. I believe it's called Water Media.
Mm-hmm.
And he does videos and all types of things. And he has done stories for us before about paradise and also about recovery from the fires in Butte County. And so we're just so happy to have him. And
yeah, he does good work.
I think this story actually, I don't know where you would find it anywhere else, but our magazine. Yep. And I hope, you know, we have a huge diocese and 20 counties and many, many square miles and very diverse. And I think that, you know, it only educates and informs and inspires our faith by reading these stories, by what's happening across our diocese.
It does, and you know, I mean, it's got
brought to my attention by Catholic Charities and Social Concerns.
It's got to be a shot in the arm for vocations too.
Definitely.
You know, people read this and they may just open their mind about vocation.
Right.
Yeah, beautiful
story.
So,
I'll just hit the highlights of some of our other stories, and one is about Marysville, St. Joseph Parish there, very historic church, and with Father Michelle Olswinski is the pastor or parochial administrator. And he, in the midst of the pandemic, they had already started on a $1.8 million restoration of everything related to the church and the stained glass windows and so many things. And they had, unbelievably, the weekend that we all went into shutdown in March 2020 was the weekend that they were in it hit off the remaining part of their fundraising campaign.
Right.
To raise the remaining $800,000 that they needed. So Father says, we postponed it a bit, but people generously contributed. So even in the pandemic, it was a pleasant surprise. It's been so rewarding to see so many parishioners involved in contributing. And so you can't go to Marysville and not see St. Joseph Church, because there it is right there staring at you with the steeple looking down.
What a steeple it is. I mean, it looks, it has the feel, it is much smaller, but it has the feel of a cathedral. It just does.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and all the steps going up to the, I've always been so fond of that church. It's such a landmark in Marysville.
It is, and it says, Father says, they parishioners are proud to be members of the parish because the church stands beautiful and gorgeous as a symbol of hope in the midst of so much darkness.
Yep.
Our steeple is beaming with white colors to give off light that says, even in the midst of darkness, light wins.
Yeah.
So we have a really nice photo that's taken by Steve German of his parish staff and the two deacons and their wives who serve at that parish. And there was a lot they had to do. The steeple was in danger of falling down, was posing a safety risk, and the interior stained glass windows badly needed to be repaired. And the church received structural safety, cosmic updates, new lights outside, new fire alarms. Interior and exterior of the church were painted, and an additional donation helped fit the sacristy with new stained glass windows. So what a feat by that parish.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, there's you know, that's a challenge to raise that much money in a small town. Boy, congratulations to the people of Marysville at St. Joseph Parish. That is just remarkable. 1852, that parish was founded.
Yes. Wow. And the cornerstone of the church was laid in 1855.
That is mind-boggling.
Yeah. So, other stories, then I was privileged to do the story on parishioners at St. Monica and Willows. And actually, I came onto this story kind of accidentally because I happened to be on Facebook a couple nights before Christmas, and I'm connected to St. Monica Parish in Willows. And here was Father Michael Asteris, the parochial administrator, who's been there since September 2020. And here he is on Facebook giving a live piano Christmas serenade for about an hour, which just speaking from the heart. He said he didn't rehearse or anything for it. He hadn't played the piano for a while. He played some Filipino songs, some songs in Spanish, some songs in English. And I just happened upon it and saw it as he was giving it live. He says, I meant for it to be inspirational and festive, but so many people shared the video on Facebook. He was laughing about that. About 3,000 people saw the video in 24 hours. I hadn't played the piano in ages, so it was a bit nerve-wracking.
Wow.
I said to myself, this is prayer, and I wanted people to be drawn to the Lord. I was so surprised when from the beginning to end I had played and reflected for an hour. My words were spontaneous, so it was providential. It was my offering to the Lord, and God was wonderful. I was overwhelmed and humbled by people's responses. People left me voicemails telling me how they were touched, found comfort and hope, and were connected to Christ, which brought tears to my eyes.
Wow. And he concluded the concert with Ave Maria.
Yes.
Wow. Well, you can't lose doing that.
No.
You could play Ave Maria badly and people would enjoy it.
Right,
it's one of the most beautiful songs ever composed.
I happened to come across that one by accident.
Wow,
so,
that's quite the story. Julie, there are no accidents with God.
Okay, I guess not. Everything's providential.
Everything's providential, indeed.
So, anyway, and so we go on from there and have nice interviews and the story with other parishioners, Elvira Lara, her parish secretary, who talks about how she handled things during the pandemic, as well as Maribel Palomino. She's been a member of the parish since age 8. She is the director of religious education and Hispanic ministry. And then we also have an interview in that story with Marianne Conway and Marianne Hoto, who are lifelong parishioners of St. Monica, and their four children. And they all reflect on what has been their experience during the pandemic.
We should also mention that Father Asteris is responsible for the beautifully named St. Mary of the Mountain Mission in the tiny, tiny, tiny town of Stonyford.
Yes.
Which is west of Willows.
He gave an Advent retreat there outdoors for 2 days on Facebook Live during Advent.
Well, you know, it's a very small town, but people come from miles around, and it's one of the sweetest small little chapels you'll ever see in Stonyford.
Oh, Stonyford, yes. Yeah. So, do we still have time? Should I keep highlighting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, anyway, I just think it's a great issue, but I'm the editor. What do I know? But but then when I kind of counted up how many places we touched in the diocese, it was a joy for me.
People are going to, you know, I frequently talk about the size of this diocese, not just the size, but the diversity. And maybe people believe me now looking at this one. You're Alturas to Portola to Willows to, you know, just on and on. Marysville, there's just so many different places in this wonderful edition.
So another story is about Father Brian Sullivan, who's mm-hmm. the pastor at Holy Family Parish in Portola.
Right.
And anyone can tune in to what he calls his espresso shots. They're short little 3 to 4 minute videos. They're on his website. What is his website? Shoot, can't find it here. But you can find him on Facebook, Holy Family Parish, Portola, if you want to like that on Facebook. Oh, his website is Father, F-R, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Sullivan, S-O-L-I-V-E-N.com.
Yeah, it's not Sullivan like the Irish name. It's spelled differently.
Everyone had the Irish. No.
Well, in this diocese, you see, you hear Sullivan, and you think, he's from the old country. Way. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they include beautiful shots of scenery, forested, in the snow, in Portola. So people might want to check that out. He just covers a range of topics. And then he posts on the 3 to 4 minute videos on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
The one photo you have on the inside, inside the first cover of him standing in the snow, people are going, "That's the Diocese of Sacramento, really? It looks like the North Pole."
So one of the reasons he started doing this is because the internet strength in Portola was very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike other parishes, he did not live stream the whole mass. Because the internet, was not very good. So he said, I had to be more creative. I started pre-recording homilies and posting videos on Facebook and YouTube. So he separated out the homily from the mass so it would be more shareable and digestible. People could view it easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the espresso shots filled the gap when he did not celebrate daily mass in person.
Oh, that's great.
So he calls it a quick spiritual burst. And then, of course, it's ideal to shoot outside to take advantage of our beautiful mountain scenery. And he said it's been a great outreach for people who couldn't come to church to help them stay connected to the parish. He also knows there are non-Catholics who watch the content, and he likes to wrap in some church history much of the time into the video. And then during the pandemic, he and some parishioners, including Emma Bailey, redesigned a room in the rectory to be an adoration chapel, where he will often offer an hour of prayer in the evening and the morning, and then people can tune into that on Facebook
mm-hmm.
and pray with
mm-hmm.
him.
And there, boy, you got scenery in Portola—that's for sure. And they have a mission in Loyalton as well. Another small town in our diocese. So
Father reflects on the pandemic by saying it's sort of survival at this point. How do we engage with those who are scattered, perhaps gone because they are not in the habit of attending mass anymore, and because many of those people may not be coming back?
Yeah.
I see the need for people to truly make a commitment to Christ, meaning if people have fallen away because of the pandemic, maybe we need to strengthen their faith. How do we form disciples no matter what happens? What the pandemic has shown us is a need of discipleship among our people. It's shown us that our roots need to be deepened. How can we increase people's love and fidelity in order to withstand the trials, not just of a pandemic, but of the challenges of life?
Yep, indeed.
So, anyway, then we also have a great story. Many have had them on the
Julie, we'll have to have you back on for that one.
That's good.
We have hit the witching hour here, or whatever it is.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
But it is truly a wonderful addition, and we will get you back on to talk about the rest of it when you have the time.
The digital edition is available at scd.org and click on Catholic Herald.
Very
if
good.
If you don't receive it in the mail, you can view the digital edition.
Very good. Thanks, Julie.
Okay. Thanks so much.
God bless. Bye. That's Julie Sly, the editor of the Catholic Herald. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Well, here I am in a river of questions. Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? But I see this life, it's valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here, oh, that brought me here, walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living, I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You really love me.
question my friendships, alliance, dependence. Who will still be here when I fall? But the one thing I don't question.